Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. And how are all of you? Well, you know, I was going to bring you a show which was going to focus on money that's flowing from the United States government to certain mosques controlled by the Muslim Brotherhood and other little tentacle tidbits of the Muslim Brotherhood, and then flowing from those mosques to various terror groups. And I'm still going to do that, but I'm not going to do it tonight, or actually this morning. Number one, I've run into some additional information which really closes the loop on what I've been investigating and what I'm going to report to you, which will absolutely curl your hair. Although those of us who have our beliefs about Mr. Obama and his minion sympathies will not be all too surprised, but you will be shocked at just how blatant it is. Your tax dollars going to radical mosques and then being filtered to terrorist organizations. Makes you want to just rush right out this April 15th and write your check, doesn't it? The second reason I'm not going to bring that to you today, I'm going to put it off for a week or two until I get these final little, shall we say, dots and connect the lines for you. On, I think, a pretty major story. Once again, a whole bunch of stuff has happened this week. And some of it you really need to know now, not next week. Some of it has to do with the economy. Some of it has to do with the campaigns. Some of it has to do with Iran. And some of it has to do with terrorism. So today, we're going to be covering a wide variety of subjects. None of them in huge depth. But I think you're going to find them fascinating and you're not going to be particularly pleased. You know, I got an email from one of my listeners over the course of this week saying, you know, I love your show, but is there anything cheerful to report? Well, you know, the news doesn't have a smiley face and it doesn't have a frown. It's just the news. The facts are the facts. 2 + 2 = 4 and water runs downhill. And you need to know about where the water's flowing, and you need to know about who in our country, for their own nefarious purposes, are trying to tell you that 2 + 2 = 5 or 2 + 2 = 3. Because it affects your family's finances, it affects your family's safety, and affects your freedoms. I mean, it's just that simple. So, I'm sorry if some of my stuff, or most of my stuff, is a bummer, man. But it is just the way it is. And it's intentional. And that's the part that I think is the darkest of the story. It's one thing if somebody was making a mistake. It's another thing if somebody was incompetent. But it's a whole nother thing when it's intentional and in absolute pointed disregard of people's health, safety, and welfare. By folks who profess, of course, to be their number one concern is your health, safety, and welfare. You bet. So we're going to talk a little bit about Iran. We're going to talk about Barry. I have an interesting tidbit for you on Barry. You will just howl at this. You will get a smile. We're going to talk about the campaign. We're going to talk about economics. We're going to talk about, as part of the economic talk, new business startups and how that's affecting the lies and nonsense you are being fed on the unemployment and other rates, etc. So, let's get started, shall we? Number one, let's start with Iran. Oh, yes, Iran. You know, our good friends over there. Number one, as you probably know, they released this video of one of the American sailors supposedly crying. I mean, he has a handkerchief up to his face. I don't know what he's doing. He might be wiping sweat off his face. He might have been so pissed off over the whole situation that he had tears of rage. We don't know. Here's what I do know. I do know that those two boats were not outgunned by the Iranians. I do know we don't have the complete story on where they were quote-unquote captured, whether it was so-called Iranian territorial waters off the strategic Iranian island of Farsi in the Straits of Hormuz or not. We do know, because it was a slip, we do know that the Navy actually told the Iranians where these boats were. We do know that John Kerry, incredibly, stood up in front of the world and thanked the Iranians for capturing our guys and being diplomatic and letting them go in 24 hours. And we do know that Iran used it as a major propaganda coup, and they sent a message to the rest of the Arab world, which is, America can't be trusted, America no longer has your back, America is weak, and we are the ascending power. We do know all of that. My personal opinion is, this was intended to happen. Those sailors were under orders. I know this sounds like a conspiracy theory, black helicopters, etc. But you know, given this administration, and given the dark people he has installed in all his agencies. I think you heard about the beatdown that EPA got from the Supreme Court this week. You know, all their nonsense about coal-fired plants got stayed by the Supreme Court. Now, that's not a final ruling, but it almost guarantees that they're going to lose the final ruling. And we're going to talk about that a little bit, too, because that ties into everything that we're talking about, including rules and regulations and what's wrong with this economy today and how it's affecting you. Okay, the other thing we know about Iran, they had a parade, and they gave medals to the Revolutionary Guards guys who brought off this huge capture of American sailors who were under orders to be captured, I'm quite convinced, as a side deal to the nuclear deal, which 3 days later, by the way, was implemented, and Iran got $100, $150 billion. Okay, you know, Ash Carter, I got to tell you, our Secretary of Defense, I had hopes for him, although I had my doubts when Obama appointed him. But, you know, he's another kiss ass. I mean, he's like Dempsey, the departed chairman of the Joint Chiefs. I mean, these guys are just Obama puppets. That's all they are. He was over there, and this all has to do with Iran. He was over there talking to our so-called coalition that's fighting ISIS, trying to tell them that they needed to do more. I mean, we're not doing squat, but they need to do more. And the Canadians, I don't know if you know this, have told the United States to go shove it, that they're not really going to be part of the coalition anymore. They're going to do whatever they think is the right thing to do. And guess what? As of last week, Canadian Air Force planes are finally bringing in modern and heavy weapons to the Kurds, who have been asking Barry for them for 3 years and are the only effective anti-ISIS fighting force on the ground. So the Canadians finally said, enough of this nonsense, enough of Barry purposefully coddling ISIS, and off we go. We will arm the Kurds. I mean, I think that says something about things, don't you think? Yes, leading from behind, whole new deal. Now, you know, I talked about, I think in the last show or two, I've talked about how everything Barry has done supports ISIS and undermines America's and the coalition's attempt, and in fact Russia's attempt, as limited as that may be, to take out ISIS. Because, in my opinion, and based on his own words and his own deeds and his own lack of deeds, all of which are choices by a very intelligent man, who's advised by a Muslim born in Tehran, Iran, Valerie Jarrett. He's rooting for ISIS, guys. He created ISIS. Anybody with half a brain would have known that ISIS or some group like it would have spawned in the void that was created by the Iraq pullout. Anybody would have known that when ISIS was congregating, shall we say, out in the open on the Syria-Iraqi border 2 years ago, but particularly with intelligence reports, that they could have taken them out. Anybody would have known that ISIS would quickly overpower the Iraqi army. Anybody would have known that having all that American-made equipment falling into ISIS hands is probably not a good thing. We did know where the headquarters were, but didn't take it out. The French finally did, kind of like the Canadians arming the Kurds. And I can go on and on and on. However, here's something you don't know. Now, you know that Barry did not take out the oil fields from which ISIS derives about 90% of its revenue, the other 10% being sexual slavery and other sordid types of things that Barry never talks about, by the way. $400 to $500 million is the estimated revenue just last year to ISIS from the oil fields that Barry didn't bomb because, and this, of course, is his excuse, it would have caused environmental damage. You know, we would have had some smoke in the air. $400 to $500 million. Now, let me ask a question. How many people do you think died over there and around the world? Paris, Chattanooga, San Bernardino, Syria, Iraq, Yemen, Afghanistan, Libya. How many people died because this man did not take out the oil fields because, in his words, he was worried about some smoke? Actually, he was worried about them not having money to continue what they're doing. Now, you know, you can call this whatever you want. I will continue to call it treason. I don't think there's another word for it. It's way past any other description. And on top of that, Iran, who just got $150 billion from us, is buying more than 100 planes from Airbus over there in France, not from Boeing. They have emissaries all over Europe, and Europe likewise, in Tehran, opening up all sorts of lines of business channels. The same with Iran and the Chinese, the same with Iran and the Russians. They're not doing any business with the United States, or very little. And they have now announced they're about to start shipping oil, which they have not been able to do while the sanctions have been imposed, which, of course, is going to further hurt the American oil industry because of the current glut of oil and low prices, etc. We've talked about that on the shows. You can type it into the search bar, listen to what I've had to say. So now we have Iran ready to sell oil, and large quantities of it, I might add. And guess what they just came out with this week? Actually, it was like February 10th. You'll love this. They will not accept U.S. dollars for their oil. They want to be paid in euros. Now, we know Iran is chummy-chummy with Russia. We know Iran is chummy-chummy with China. Remember that drone they shot down? The Chinese were right over there kind of taking it apart at Iran's request. You know, Russia is selling them all the sophisticated anti-aircraft stuff, the missiles. And we know that they're getting chummy with Europe. And I think it's pretty apparent to everybody, including, by the way, Barry and John Kerry, despite their lies to the contrary, that Iran really doesn't like Israel and the United States. And so they're now going to do all their business in euros. Remember that the dollar is the reserve currency of the world only because of petroleum, the petrodollar, the Bretton Woods Agreement. So here we have Iran joining forces with all those anti-dollar countries out there, the countries that, for all sorts of reasons, good for them and bad for America, want to take down the dollar as reserve currency of the world, and in fact are succeeding in slowly doing that. This will hasten the dollar's demise. Reuters reported, switching oil sales to euros makes sense, as Europe is now one of Iran's biggest trading partners. This is like overnight, folks. This is like in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And I reported to you, you can dial it up in the search bar. I reported to you about Russia, China, some of the BRIC countries, South Africa, India, forming kind of a new bank. You know, Putin is spearheading it. They're going to deal in currencies like the yuan. They're not going to deal in the dollar. I mean, these are some huge countries and some huge economies, relatively speaking. I mean, China, Russia, and India put together are bigger than the United States. China is, you know, slightly behind us. In fact, they're ahead of us in some respects, although they're falling on their butt right now, but that's for later in this show or another show. So now Iran is likely, they were not invited to join this new bank consortium anti-dollar reading group, so to speak, because of the sanctions. With the sanctions off, looks like they're now going to join an ever more powerful bloc, anti-American bloc and anti-dollar bloc that will affect us. It absolutely will affect us. By the way, the name of that outfit that's anti-dollar is called the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, or SCO. And India and Pakistan have also joined in the last year. Remember that Pakistan is nuclear armed, as is India, and they are not friendly. But it seems that the enemy of my enemy is my friend when it comes to the U.S. dollar. All right. Let's move on to the next thing, the campaigns, the elections. You know, I try not to talk about this too much because everybody and their mother's brother are talking about it, and you can't turn on the damn TV and not listen to this, that, or the other. Most of it blather by blatherheads. And by the way, I think I called New Hampshire right on the button. Thank you very much. Trump, Kasich, Rubio. So, got that one 100% right, and I got Iowa partially right. And in South Carolina, you know, this time next week, I'm going to give you my prognostications on that. I want to kind of watch it, but I will tell you this, Trump's going to win it. Now, I don't know who's going to be second or third yet. I'll save that for next week. But Trump's going to win South Carolina. A couple of interesting things have hit me over the week, watching this campaign stuff, reading all the various back channel stuff that I do, which many times has quotes from these candidates that you just don't see on TV, which is sound bites. And here's what hit me, and I did watch the Republican debate, by the way, and I did watch the Democratic debate. So, you know, Rubio was thrown under the bus by the press. I mean, yes, Christie did a great job, you know, as a good cross-examining prosecutor might be expected to do. But Rubio, who could have done better? I mean, he could have switched his answer around. He could have come back. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, what if, what if, what if. If I had two slices of bread and a piece of bologna, I'd have a bologna sandwich, but I don't. But let me tell you, I like Rubio even more after that, because only Rubio and Carson really get it. Everybody else up there, including Trump, I might add, is, you know, Obama's stupid, he's incompetent, he's this. No, no, no. No. Rubio and Carson get it. Barack Obama is doing exactly what he wants to do. Exactly. He wants to transform America. And not in the way that we would normally think. That is, as Rubio would say, correct what's wrong. We're talking about fundamental change, which he promised in 2008. So my hat is off to Rubio for knowing it. My hat is off to Rubio for saying it. And my hat is off to Rubio for sticking with his guns, even though he probably could have been more artful about it, more clever about it, while under assault by Christie. And big, fat, black stars to the media who totally blew that out of proportion and hurt Rubio in New Hampshire. And no, I'm not endorsing Rubio. And no, I'm not endorsing Trump. And no, I'm not endorsing Cruz. You all know what I think of Pillory. Which brings me to the next campaign point. So in this absolutely lackluster, pathetic excuse for moderation in the PBS debate of the Democrats a few days ago, do you know that the two moderators did not ask a single question of Hillary about the emails, the server, national security, or her foundation, the Clinton Foundation? Not a single question. And Bernie Sanders didn't bring it up, and I'll come back to that in a moment, because that's another thing, that's one of my points that I want to talk to you about, what struck me in this last week about the campaigns. Now, this was the day that the announcement was made that the Clinton Foundation had been subpoenaed because of influence, because of suspicions of influence peddling and corruption, i.e., Russia gives Bill $250,000 for a speech in Moscow, and a week later, the State Department approves some type of deal that Russia needs to do that the State Department had to approve. And you can go down the list of countries, you can go, including Saudi Arabia, by the way, to the tune of $25 million. In the case of Saudi Arabia, there were no speeches by Clinton, they just gave the money to the foundation. But there are scores, maybe more than scores, we'll see what the investigation turns up, what the subpoenas turn up. There are scores, at the least, of instances where countries, or people, or jurisdictions wanted something done, State Department approval was required to achieve that third party, that third nation's goals, and Bill Clinton or Hillary were paid huge fees, in Donald Trump's words, huge fees to speak, and or the foundation got millions of dollars, or both. And in all those cases, without exception, the matter or item being sought by that country was miraculously, and of course, just coincidentally, approved by Hillary's State Department. And you see, at the same time, the State Department that she purportedly no longer runs, still trying to hide emails, a federal judge kind of stuffed the umbrella up their butt and told them they better come up with them. I think they're being released as of last night. And you see the State Department still scrambling around trying to say, well, you know, what was classified, what wasn't classified, and who wasn't classified, what, you know, all the crap, all the smokescreen that's being thrown up. And it's total crap. And then the State Department picking up all the Hillary Clinton campaign talking points. Well, other secretaries of state had private emails, true, but they forgot to add nobody else had a private server. Condoleezza Rice's staff made a mistake on a few emails. She never sent or received anything on her private email from the State Department. This is one of the examples raised by the current State Department, by the way. And I find that this whole thing with the State Department, I find it very troubling. I find it troubling because it has Barack Obama's fingerprints on it, and the fingerprints of his administration, which is absolutely the most corrupt. Well, we've never had another treasonous administration, so it stands on its own. But the most corrupt administration in the history of this country, exponentially. I mean, by a marathon. And the FBI this past week has, they made it very clear, because one of the defenses that was being raised by the State Department and by Hillary, well, they're just doing a security check. The FBI made it very clear this week, in writing, that this was a criminal investigation. They didn't name Hillary by name, but a criminal investigation. Let me put it this way. You can't indict a server. You have to indict the owner of the server. They've also expanded their investigation, and up for possible indictment is Abedin, Umar Abedin, Hillary's right-hand person, the wife of Anthony Weiner, you know, Weiner's Weiner, the guy who tweets his Weiner under hashtag Weiner. You know, you can't make this stuff up. And Uma, baby, her parents are members of the Muslim Brotherhood. Man, this whole thing just stinks, doesn't it? I mean, the tangled web we weave at the expense of the American people. So, the FBI made clear that it's a criminal investigation. The investigation has now been opened up in the foundation, which if you go back into my shows a year ago when all this kind of started, I told you Benghazi would not go away. And by the way, it's through Benghazi that all this began. So there is some poetic justice, although it doesn't mean much to those four families who lost people up on that roof September 11th, 2012. 2013, excuse me. There is some poetic justice in this, because without the investigations in Benghazi, we would have never discovered the emails. We would have never discovered the server. The discoveries now being made about the influence peddling with the State Department, more treason, I might add, would never have been known. So, you know, those four poor guys in Benghazi in the end might not have died in vain. They may truly have given their lives for their country. As sad as it is. So the State Department wanted to release these emails because, they have bad fingers or the keyboard just doesn't work. I mean, whatever excuse they had. They wanted to wait to release them on the day of Super Tuesday when you have like eight states doing their primaries. In other words, get Hillary over the hump of Nevada and South Carolina. And the federal judge said, no, you will release them February 29th. So Hillary's is going to skate. That stuff is not going to be released prior to South Carolina, but it will be, or prior to Nevada, but it will be released prior to the Democratic South Carolina vote. I mean, wow. Pretty amazing. So, you know, the investigation of her foundation, and understand that the Clinton Foundation, about 40 to 45 cents of every dollar, and there's been like a billion plus dollars, folks, that have gone into the Clinton Foundation, about 45 cents of each dollar really goes to a cause, helping the kids, doing the vaccine, whatever the cause is. The other 55 cents mysteriously disappears in that black abyss called administrative expense. And lo and behold, we find out that Bill and Hillary basically have about everything in their entire lives paid for, including their house, their office, their travel, and I would imagine their food, and maybe Hillary's multiple BlackBerry devices she lied about, and maybe even the server she lied about. The Clinton Foundation is their personal slush fund. It's kind of like tracking money from the United States government to the mosque, to Hamas. It's like tracking money from Saudi Arabia and then Saudi Arabia getting a favor from the State Department, to the Clinton Foundation, and then to the filet mignon on Hillary's plate. You know, follow the money. Follow the money. The trail is always there. Anyway, it seems to me that people are finally waking up to just how corrupt, just what a pathetic and pathological liar Hillary, as I call her, Clinton is. Now, that brings me to Bernie Sanders. One of the things that struck me, oh, that's right, my producer's gesturing at me here. The PBS commentators who conducted that debate, softball question after softball question, never raised the question of all this, should we say, rather important stuff. I think America's national security and whether or not the commander-in-chief is going to lie to the American people and whether or not people died because of what this woman did, I think those are kind of important questions. Never mind that her Syria and Libya policy, along with Barry, has resulted in 400,000 people dying over there so far, and another 12 million being displaced, and destabilization of 6 or 7 governments in Europe, along with terror attacks on Europeans and Americans. Never mind all that. You would think this is a topic that might come up in a presidential debate by a moderator, but we come to find out that those two moderators, one wrote a book just expressing her adulation and adoration for Barack Obama. And the other contributed rather large sums of money to Hillary's campaign. PBS has these two people moderating this debate? Hello? Journalism? Journalistic responsibility? I mean, I think it's disappeared. And then we come to Bernie. So Bernie didn't bring this up in the debate. Now, okay, I understand. Bernie says he wants to stick to the issues. Bernie doesn't want to run a smeary campaign. Bernie doesn't want to get personal, all the stuff that Bernie says. But hey, Bernie, got a question for you. Put all that crapola aside. Don't you think character is kind of important in the president of the United States? Don't you think an honest and truthful, as much as they can be, given exterior threats, external threats by other countries, don't you think a trustworthy and honest person, man or woman, in the White House is kind of important for the American people that you profess to care about? Which do you think is more important, Bernie? Income equality, minimum wage, or a commander-in-chief that can be trusted to keep the American people safe and not lie to them? And not take money to sell America down the road? What do you think is more important, Bernie? And if that is important, and I happen to think it's critical, then Bernie, there are plenty of ways to bring this up and nail her to the wall on it without being nasty. You don't have to send out nasty tweets like Donald Trump. You don't have to pull underhanded tactics like Ted Cruz. You don't have to lie, twist, distort, manipulate like Hillary Clinton. You can just say, you know, what about the national security of Americans? I'm not sure that we can believe what you say, Mrs. Clinton, Madam Secretary, as he calls her. Would you please come clean with the emails? Was our national security jeopardized? I, Bernie, can't implement my grand socialistic plan if our security has been undermined. I need to know. What a great question for a debate. How come Bernie didn't ask it? We'll talk about that in the coming weeks. Then, folks, we have Donald Trump. And what struck me about Donald Trump is he is really trying to, I'm not sure so successfully, tone down his approach, which is a good thing. because I like a lot of the things he stands for. I don't trust them all. I don't trust everything about any candidate. But you don't need to be stupid in what you say. There's lots of ways to cut people's throat without leaving a mess. And that's my thing on him. Now, Bush, Jeb Bush. I must say, while I will give him this, I think he's relatively sincere, and he is relatively honest, and he did pretty good things in Florida. I really dislike him more and more. Number one, spending $40 million in New Hampshire, paying $1,200 for every vote he got. That, my friends, is disgusting. That right there, and by the way, Hillary is not much better. That right there tells you that we need some dramatic campaign reform because it is outrageous. And him undermining the Republican Party and other Republican candidates who have a far better chance than he of winning the general election, if a miracle occurred and even got the nomination, is reprehensible. And what struck me is that Jeb Bush hides behind his mild manner a rather narcissistic streak. Because if you weren't a narcissist, you would not be spending $100 million on a couple primaries, paying $1,200 for a vote, and lashing out at everybody else and hurting them for the general election. You'd rise above that. You would, as he would like to say, put America first. However, one of the things he said this week really caught my attention. He said several times that when he's elected, heaven forbid, that when he's elected, he will never blame his predecessor for anything he has to do. Okay. Now, I realize what he was trying to say, that Barack Obama doesn't accept responsibility for anything, loves to blame everything on George Bush and whoever else, and that he, Jeb, wouldn't do that. I understand it. I get it. But it is a really stupid, stupid, as Donald would say, thing to say. Stupid. Hugely stupid. And you know why? Put on your thinking cap. Barack Obama, we talked about Rubio and Rubio being ripe. Everything Barack Obama has done has been to undermine this country, militarily, security-wise, economically, socially, within the nation, within the table of nations, relative to race. I mean, I can go down the list. There's no box that you can't check. Healthcare, everything. And whoever the next president is going to be dealing not only with this traitorous, treasonous stuff, but they're going to be dealing with the poison pills that Barry has very intentionally and very cleverly put in place with his shadow government, his directors of the agencies, his plants in the judiciary, his plants in the Department of Homeland Security. I have a little sidelight to tell you about here in just a moment on that. His plants in the Department of Homeland Security. And I mean, all the way down the line, the mess that he and Hillary have purposely, folks, you couldn't do this as a mistake, created in the Mideast.